Welcome back, interweb friends. Stop the movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined, as I almost always am, by Jack Estabrook.
Who can barely shave his sideburns straight.
That's Cody Wolf.
Hello.
Andy Wolf.
Hey.
And Brian.
Sitting next to a chronic masticator.
Yeah.
I'm like the masticator.
Yes.
I got that wrong, sorry. Yeah.
Or did you? Or did you?
I'm going to masticate right now.
Yep. And that's why this is a audio-only podcast, people.
Brian, I'm never bringing crunchy snacks again.
Yeah. Our movie this week is the 1994 action thriller Terminal Velocity, starring Charlie Sheen, when Charlie Sheen was an A-list movie star, which...
When did that happen, and how did that happen?
Well, if you think about it...
Young Guns.
Platoon.
Major League. I already said Major League, Jack.
Major League.
Was he in Major League?
Major League 2.
Oh, Major League 2.
That was the big hit.
I guess that was a big hit.
I mean,
yeah.
Platoon, Wall Street. He was nominated for an Oscar in Wall Street.
Yeah, he was.
Hot Shots.
Pretty
I guess so. I couldn't think of those.
Yeah, but he, I mean, for a narrow window there, he was kind of like an A-list guy, and this movie, before we get into it, it just screams mid-90s. Like, you can just look at this movie and listen to the soundtrack and, like, the way it's shot and everything that's happening and just be like, yep, mid-90s.
Speaking of soundtrack, the guy who did the music is, like, laying it on pretty thick.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, every fight scene. Dun, 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 like a 500-piece orchestra.
Well, this
drowning
was
out the action. It's like, what?
I thought this was a Joel Silver movie for a long time because it's like the Joel Silver kind of like formula. And it has those, like, it has like a Joel Silver score to it and like all the beats, but it wasn't. It was just, it's basically a Joel Silver knockoff. Music.
It has that mid-90s like guitar, like, wow.
Like a generic when he's jumping. Movie. Yep, when he's jumping, yeah.
Yep.
I guess the best place to start would be the title because it kind of attacks you, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the letters fly out and whoosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, really? Scary. Do we need that?
Yeah, right as they were getting into things you could do with optical titles, you know, and so you get that. And we're going to have to jump around. This is, even by the end of this movie, as with so many of our movies, the bad guy's plan, not totally clear. It's not clear
in
the beginning.
I have no idea.
It's not clear at the
end.
Nor
was the good guy's plan.
Yeah.
You don't even know if they were really good guys or if he was just caught in the middle of two bad guys feuding until the very end.
Well, I don't, even at the very end, I'm not sure that that's completely clear.
You know that you're right, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, we get this opening sequence of a woman who's driving around in the desert and has a gun with her. And then gets hit by the loudest trash bag ever. They went on.
Oh my god! I was gonna say that. Yeah,
I thought you hit a person.
A body hit. Yeah. Well, it's like, boom! It's like.
But I also want to ask a question. Correct me if I'm wrong. Trash bags don't scream when you hit them, do they? Because this one did. It was a scream noise.
Yeah, I might have heard a scream.
And it's not from her because you're seeing her reaction. You hear a trash bag scream.
She slams on her brake and comes to a total complete stop.
Yes.
Because a trash bag flew on our windshield.
Yes.
More overly dramatic
music really
plays to accentuate the feeling of hitting this trash bag.
I hope
bag.
I'm not behind
to
her on
81. To accentuate the feeling of hitting a trash bag. That's what I'll say in the Terminal Velocity soundtrack. Trash bag hit!
And then a plane lands.
Like right above her, like all of a sudden, and she didn't even hear it. It's like all of a sudden, and she's like, ah!
Right above, yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on here?
And then we just cut away. And then we just
cut away to some bad acting on a...
Oh, that was the worst.
Veranda, whatever that thing's called.
Cut away to some bad acting. You could say that about every cut in the movie.
This girl was really...
This was
like,
really
I was glad
bad.
That she
was oh, yeah,
movie.
She was. She's terrible.
I thought it was Kinski or whatever the hell her name is first, and then...
What's her
name?
Nastasia Kinski. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was her at first. I thought, oh, we're in for a wild ride now.
Yeah, because this woman who was in the car who hit the trash bag and almost got run over by an airplane is now, like, in her apartment. She's drawing a gun and something suspicious is going on. She's on the phone talking about some super secret, spy crap.
Yeah, there's some, anyway.
She starts speaking in Russian.
Instant code that she's a spy. McGavin.
That she's a spy. And then Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore.
Ah, yes, I was going to say.
Yeah.
With a horrible blonde dye job.
Whenever I see him, Shooter McGavin's all, that's the only part I remember.
Shooter!
Him.
He comes in.
It's like, yes, Shooter's in this, yeah!
And he and a generic henchman drown her in a fish tank. trying to get information out of her. But then they seem
Where's
to...
Where's your roommate? Well,
but they
she's
seem
in
to,
her panties, though.
Where's your roommate?
Oh, so there's like a little extra, you know...
Oh, my God.
A little extra what?
A little extra
funny,
what?
It's funny. Of course, she's on the phone. Of course, she's got to take her pants off, strip down to nice, you know, she's some panties. And then line. These guys... I don't know. It just struck me as funny that...
Could you?
They got her upside down in her panties in a fish
could
tank.
You not were say? You, could you not say panties anymore? Like, you, just as a request.
Were you masticating?
Yeah.
I don't remember if I was or not at that but, point. But
so they're trying to get information out of her, but they drown her, which is really a pretty poor way to get information.
Yeah, they're not, right. Yeah, they're not very good at getting information.
Yeah.
You gave her one chance, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't think they judged how long she could hold her breath.
No.
Yeah. And then we get this sequence of Charlie Sheen skydiving, like essentially base jumping off of a, I don't know if it's Phoenix or Tucson, but it has to be Phoenix or Tucson. There's only two Arizona. Cities in Arizona, really.
He buzzes a news chopper.
He buzzes a news chopper and then thinks he's landing at a bachelorette party. But lands yes. at a kid's birthday party.
And he rips his flight suit off, which is breakaway, and he's got assless chaps.
And yeah,
why would a bachelorette thing. Party? He lands like in the middle of downtown. Like, I know. Why would a bachelorette party be in the middle of downtown?
Right in a park in downtown.
Yeah, I mean.
And I was also wondering, is Charlie Sheen a skydiving stripper? Like, why else would you wear assless chaps?
He's got to make extra money.
And how far off is? I mean, yeah, he would have to be
like
potentially miles off.
Right? Is there like a base jump? You know, a 8-year-old birthday party here, and like next block over is a.
A bachelorette
party outside. I mean,
yeah. Which, by the way, just in the middle of the day,
right?
Like,
right.
The bachelorette party at like noon. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know.
I'm not sure what the plan was there.
So in the one realistic scene in the movie, we find out the FAA is not cool with anything about this.
He's in a little bit of trouble.
And he gets
job.
Back to the and the boss is like, Sheen, you've done it again.
Well, wait, his name is. Ditch.
Oh, yeah, Ditch.
Ditch. Yeah. Our hero's name Ditch. Is Ditch, ladies and gentlemen.
I have it written down
Ditch
later
Brody.
On.
Ditch Brody.
Ditch Brody. Brody.
Yeah. Ditch Brody.
The bad guy. Didn't you think the boss kind of looked like Sally Fields?
A little bit.
I was like, oh my gosh, is this Sally Fields? I'm like, there's no way Sally Fields could be in Terminal
no,
Velocity. But
no,
it kind of looked like her.
Yeah,
no, it did look
kind
a little
of,
like
yeah.
her. She was a Sally Field type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Charlie Sheen works at a flight school, by the way, a jump school.
Is it
right?
I don't even know...
I didn't know what it was either until later on.
But I don't
know. They employ a massive amount of people at this jump school. I mean,
in the middle of the desert.
I would
like 60 guys in this.
I would have rather seen a movie about the business model of this parachute
right?
jump school. I mean,
$50 a jump, and they can employ 60 people. I mean,
yeah, there's people
they must
everywhere.
Get a lot of business.
Yeah.
Well, it's good publicity when your lead trainer guy lands in the middle of downtown
That's
and asks his chaps.
So even though Charlie Sheen is now in trouble with the FAA, of course, he's the one who takes on the next client who walks in the door.
Because she's a wet dream.
Yeah. No, yeah. That actually is his words.
Right yeah, he does
yeah.
say that in
wet
the movie.
Dream walk
we'll
down.
Get yeah.
Mandy that one.
He's got a lot of good, and by good, I mean that in quotation marks. He's got a lot of good lines in this movie.
Well, like I was telling Alex last night, it's like Charlie Sheen is in a comedy and everybody else is in an action movie.
Yeah. This is well, and Cody and I were talking last night that as I was watching this, I was like, oh man, Charlie Sheen was the Ryan Reynolds of the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just dishing one-liners in movies that are otherwise
serious.
Yeah,
nobody told him that. It's more of a serious movie than...
Yeah.
Charlie,
yeah.
This is an action movie, not a romantic comedy. Yeah. Why did that one girl, the girl that came into his office before the blonde woman... That, yeah, why was she like... Did anyone explain...
She had two broken legs.
Well, at the end of the movie...
And then she got two broken arms.
She looked like
she
fell out of a plane.
Yeah. At the end of the movie, she's got two broken arms.
I don't know if that's like a joke.
I guess it is a joke.
Yeah, she had like... She looked like one of those cartoon things where someone crashes and the next day like their whole body's in a cast. Like that was what she was like going around on her crutches.
I was really.
This is the worst jump school I've ever seen, man.
I know people are going around on crutches, getting investigated by the FAA, and somehow they're turning a profit. Apparently,
well, also imagine
Sally Fields really cracking the whip there somehow.
Right. Well, like knockoff Sally Fields.
Right.
I thought that like imagine you're a new client walking in, and the first employee you meet has two
broken
legs.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I was looking for the grocery store. I gotta go. So basically, the new client is Nastasia Kinski, and Charlie Sheen's like, "All right, I'm gonna take care of her. I'm gonna recommend a tandem jump and hit on her furiously."
Have we established yet? I do believe it was in this scene that Charlie Sheen was an Olympic gymnast.
Yes.
Like 84.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
he's chasing that Russian gold.
Which is
a callback.
Which is just an inexplicable part of this movie. Like, why is that?
No reason. I thought that was going to come up at some point.
He mentioned that's how it comes up at the end. I thought his skills as a gymnast.
Right, I thought something happened. Okay.
Well, did it kind of at the end?
It kind of did at the end, but they could have just not done that, too.
Right.
We didn't. It didn't.
Well, I guess.
It didn't. So
I thought there was going to be a scene where he needed to balance himself on parallel bars.
Right, or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, parallel bars.
I got this.
The pommel horse. That's where I messed up in Moscow.
Oh, no, I didn't use enough resin on my hands. I don't know what I'm going to do.
So Charlie Sheen goes over with one of the other 60 employees here, his big plan to teach Nastassja Kinski how to skydive.
In 4 hours, because she doesn't want a tandem jump.
In four hours.
Can they even legally do that?
Well,
they had the tandem first jump.
Which to me...
There is a way, it's funny, because of all the things this movie explains, it never explains it, where you're connected by a wire to your instructor, which is what she wants to do.
I was thinking, what is this guy, an idiot? He's like, okay, you're hot, so I'll let you jump on your own.
It's funny, in all the things they established, they never established that when they go up in the plane, the two of them are linked by a wire.
They're supposed to have a safety wire, okay.
And she and her, well, we'll get to that.
So now it all makes sense.
And I don't know if they really wanted us to know that she knew how to jump, but obviously it was obvious she was...
Well, she was playing along.
Yeah, but it was obvious she knew how to jump and something's up with the whole plot. I mean, it was like, okay.
Here's the most...
I don't know if the filmmakers were like, well, you know, we'll just let you know we're not going to treat you like idiots.
Well, maybe.
Or try to trick you at this point, something, you know.
But here's the most disturbing part of Charlie Sheen's whole plan to, teach her how to jump, take her to dinner, and, take her home that night. The most disturbing part of the whole plan he gives to his coworker is that he wants to be home in time for Leno. That incredibly disturbing.
That was weird.
That really bothered
me. And his friend was impressed by that.
He's home
in time for Leno.
I was like, oh.
That's right. I guess in the early mid 90s, Leno was kind of at his peak of popularity. But I don't know. That's the big key of your plan.
Get home on time for Leno.
If your day is planned around watching Jay Leno, you really need to have more going on in your day.
Yeah. I'd say it's impressive if he could have pulled it off, though.
Yeah. So Charlie Sheen and Nastassja Kinski go up in this plane.
He slaps her on the butt.
Yeah, he's hitting on her mile a minute. She's basically has giggled for 20 minutes straight.
And then he says, I'm much more than a walking penis. I'm a flying penis.
That's right. Yeah, because she's like...
He's just a penis.
Yeah, she's like...
A penis in motion.
I'd be stupid to trust my life
otherwise
with...
Otherwise acted upon by an outside force.
Didn't you? I loved her line, though. She's just like, I'd be stupid to trust my life to a walking penis.
I'm much more than a walking penis. I'm a flying penis.
And I'm like, okay.
And I don't understand her plan at this point here.
Well, no, her plan makes no
sense.
Off, yeah,
she says there's another plane out there.
Yeah,
I think there's another plane. He says, what? There's another plane.
Hold on. Let's set the table a little bit for people who haven't seen the movie. Okay, so hopefully everyone. So they're up in this small plane. They're jumping
with
out.
With Melvin Van Peebles.
It does look like Melvin Van Peebles. Oh, it is Melvin Van Peebles.
Melvin Van Peebles.
Wow. I don't know.
What's he from?
From Jaws 4.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, okay, so they're wired together, and she says to him, I think there's another plane out there, and he goes up.
You can't do the Schwarzenegger.
I think there's another plane out there, Charlie.
I know, that was more Schwarzenegger. Wow. But she goes up to the, for reasons unknown, Charlie Sheen goes up to the cabin, and he's like, is there another plane out there? And the pilot's like, no. But then he goes back, and Nastassja Kinski is gone. She has presumably jumped out of the plane. And Charlie Sheen's like, and he looks out the window, or looks out the door, and there's a body falling to the ground wearing a jumpsuit. So he dives after it. We'll come back to this in a couple of minutes, but this plan makes no sense. And the body hits the ground. Smashes
at
into
terminal
the ground.
Velocity.
At terminal
Although,
velocity.
But there's another point here. Charlie Sheen actually catches up to the body that's falling.
Kicks him in the face.
It kicks him in the face. It actively kicks him in the face.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Which, what we're about to learn, makes triply no sense.
Right.
Because he's physically holding it, But later on, we're about to learn in a couple of minutes that it's a dead body. That's right. So a dead body kicked Charlie Sheen in the face while it was falling.
It's one of those reactions.
Yeah, it's like nerves. Jumped. Yeah,
nerves, you know.
I'm
3 days later.
Terminal velocity acting upon a dead body. That happens.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we already spoiled that for you.
Yeah. I guess we'll get into her
we
plan.
We should have
in a
done
minute.
A spoiler alert. What were we thinking?
I don't think anyone cares. We're good.
So she falls, or the body falls, hits the ground. Charlie Sheen's devastated. His coworker, who he's talking with, comes up to him and is like all somber, and he's like,
"This is like some of the dumbest stuff they could possibly say."
This is really like the worst dumb dialogue. Stuff.
He's like, "I saw her bounce. We used to joke about this kind of stuff. I don't think we can joke about it anymore." I'm like, "Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. You just a client, presumably of
what
your
he
Skype."
He says about Wile E. Coyote and
yeah, they're talking about like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner jokes. I'm right. Like, what
and then
doing?
and then Charlie Sheen has one of the only good acting moments in the entire movie, and then he just turns around and looks at him like, "What the are you talking about?" He just looks at him,
and that guy just sneaks out of the movie.
He just Peter Griffin's
he's
out.
Gone.
Yeah,
the entire movie.
Yeah.
Well, I said my piece.
So now we get the movie turns into Charlie Sheen private investigator for a little bit because the FAA is seemingly completely uninterested in who this woman is who fell out of a plane, her license, her belongings.
All you gotta do is tell
they're
them
on
the
a
name.
Locker somewhere.
Just tell them the name of the person and they're like, "Oh, cool. Okay, you know her name? Cool."
That's all you need to know.
This seems better. Open and closed case.
Cremator.
Yeah.
Well, He decides to go through her purse, which she left in the locker.
Instead of giving it to the police or the FAA.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't do any of those things.
Right.
Well, he didn't need to because
the FAA
he already told
just
him her
came
name.
And yelled at him for
there were
killing
like
somebody.
8 points in this movie where if Charlie Sheen or any other character called the police, the movie would just end.
It
would just be like credits roll. Like,
so he goes to her purse and finds her license and gets her keys and goes to her apartment in Tucson where Chris McDonald is... Well, first he finds a picture of
her.
She
has a framed picture of her in a skydiving outfit in her apartment.
And he puts the frame in his pocket.
Why did he take the whole picture from him? Who does that?
I really thought about that too. I was like, I was thinking Charlie Sheen was like, I need that picture. This is a nice frame. I mean,
it's like I could use this for something.
This could really tie my living room together.
I didn't even notice the picture. He just really liked the frame.
And then what happens to Charlie Sheen next happens to him about a dozen times in the movie.
Yeah, so he gets jumped by Shooter McGavin.
Hit from behind.
Who's yelling at him? Are you the boyfriend?
That's my favorite line. Are you the boyfriend?
Where's the body?
Where's the body?
Are you making titties?
I feel like in the script, every one of his lines had an exclamation point after it. Because there's not one line that he does not shout. Like, even, like, later in the movie, like, just, like, scenes where you just suspect him to talk. He's like, "Did you find him? I think we should go back and check again."
Whoa,
calm down.
My favorite thing about him, too, is he has this really nice car, which every scene he says, "Don't touch my car, it's really nice." And you know, obviously at some point, his car's getting destroyed.
Something's happening to that car. Yeah, there's
I'm like a number five with fries and a Coke. Diet Coke. Keep the change.
So
I have to use the bathroom.
The FAA, which already had issues with this giant skydiving operation... now, not surprisingly, now that a client is dead, shuts it down.
But it's funny because he, after the fight with Shooter, he grabs a knife off him or something.
Yeah.
And he's got to have this knife identified for some reason.
He goes to some random old dude.
He goes to a random old, just to establish a rocket car.
I call them,
Yes, thank you.
This is so random.
Yeah, there are a lot of things.
You're just trying to establish a rocket car, I guess, because there's no, look at this knife. What's it from? You know, I was like,
well, for those,
I know, then they stopped
from a freaking nickel and dime store down the road. I mean,
it's like, it wasn't that unique. He's like, "Well, these serrated edges, what do they mean?" Well, it's a knife, so it has serrated edges.
In fact, it's a nice knife. I'll buy it off you. No, I don't want it.
So and then they just stopped the scene, and he goes, "How fast does that go?"
For people who have heard our So Undercover episode, Andy's segue into talking about the sorority house underwear scene was smoother than in this movie. Because this scene ends, and there's just a moment where Charlie Sheen goes, "Hey, speaking of that rocket car we're all standing near, how fast does that go?" And he's like, 375 miles an hour. And I'm just thinking in my head, like,
The guy should have just said, it'll probably get you away from some KGB agents.
Okay, I'll put that away.
And now, in District Attorney James Gandolfini.
Oh, wait.
Yes, Pinkwater!
How stupid is this guy? I mean, I know he's Charlie Sheen, but come on.
Guy pulls up with a cheap business
card. He
pulls
up with a card, and you're like, oh, you must be the ADA.
Well, wait, let's get... There's a little bit of thing here. Charlie Sheen is following, like, a little biplane that keeps buzzing him.
Oh, no, that doesn't happen yet.
So then he drives to the hangar.
Hold on, Jack. No, Jack, that hasn't happened yet. That hasn't happened yet.
First we get...
Come on, Jack.
Yeah, because James Gandolfini comes in, and so this district attorney is threatening Charlie Sheen with a manslaughter charge. He's like, I want to see if there's enough evidence to charge you with manslaughter in that client's death. Cut. Charlie Sheen and James Gandolfini shooting pool. Yeah. I don't know a lot about legal negotiations, and it's a good thing, like, Charlie Sheen wasn't like, wow, this guy's threatening with manslaughter. Yeah. Maybe I should call an attorney.
I have it in my notes. He followed the plane, went to a hangar, met James Gandolfini.
He doesn't see the plane until after their meeting. And they
the
video.
Plane was there, but he didn't see it?
This is at his hangar.
This is at his place.
It's coming next.
It's coming up next.
He gives Gandolfini the picture that he stole.
Right. Yeah.
Gives him the...
Which I'm like, idiot. Gandolfini's like, idiot. Hey, this is a nice frame.
Gandolfini also keeps the frame.
That was another giveaway that James Gandolfini wasn't district attorney. Right. When he admitted that he broke into her apartment and he said, well, she was dead. What does it matter? And Gandolfini's like, that's a good point.
Like I said,
it's a nice frame.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to call my lawyer. We'll meet down at the DA's office and we'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Come on, shoot some pool.
Because also, you just threatened me with a manslaughter charge. Right, so I'm going to bring an attorney in on this.
I like the line, too, when Charlie Sheen's like yelling at him and Gandolfini's like, yo, you got to look around and see I'm the only one trying to help you. I'm like, you open with, I'm going to charge you with manslaughter.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then he took forever to get that Coke out of the vending machine.
Oh, yeah. So then Charlie Sheen is like, I'm going to watch. You know what? My strange friend who I was talking about hitting on Nastasia Kinski with was shooting video that day. I'm going to watch the video. And he watches the video, and there was another plane.
Nobody in the whole area saw two planes. Except
the pilot couldn't even tell there was a second plane in the air. Directly above him, or underneath him. I can't remember which, but...
I think it was above him.
But so there's a second plane. So inexplicably, Charlie Sheen's like, there was a second plane. And then he just walks out.
In the grassy knoll.
When he walks out of his hangar, and then a plane just flies over for no reason. A plane just flies over him. So then Charlie Sheen freaks out and gets on a motorcycle and starts following this plane.
Goes all Top Gun.
This makes no sense to me.
And they're trying, and he finds out.
Okay, and then.
She's there, and they're trying to lure him there somehow.
This was an elaborate.
Plan to lure him to the so they could talk
to their hangar. Yeah,
right. So this is how they.
How is that a way to lure him?
To fly a plane around.
Couldn't she have just said to Charlie Sheen, "Yo, you want to go back to this hangar and have sex?" He would have like, okay, that would have saved everyone the trouble.
Yeah,
right. And hey, I'm still alive. Come bang me. I'm there. That'll work on me.
Smooth.
That'll work on me,
right? Wouldn't it?
I think it would. All right. Yeah. You know.
Wait, it doesn't take much for Andy. Yeah. Yo, I'm in this room. You want to come bang me?
What?
Huh?
I'm reading my notes.
All right, so now.
You want to come bang me in the hangar?
I'm reading my notes.
Well, not like that. I would use a voice like that.
Really?
A voice like that, I'd be like, no.
Can you come
I don't go that way.
Come bang me.
Oh, okay, okay. Sure so now, thing, all right. So now we find out Nastasia Kinski is alive.
Why don't you misticulate some more?
And Nastasia Kinski, this is how, I don't even know how to freaking describe this. So she unhooked while she was hooked into Charlie Sheen.
Right.
She jumped out of the plane.
And got behind the plane?
Somehow got behind the plane, but was opening a parachute, which apparently no one noticed that somebody came out of the plane with a parachute.
Especially the guy who was videotaping it from the ground.
Right, because I figured out before this, like, what had happened, or must have happened, but I thought she jumped from their plane into the other one, like, below them. Got in that plane, then they pushed the body
out. That honestly would have been more believable. Right. Like, I mean, as insane as that sounds, I would have bought that before I bought what they portray.
She jumps and
quote unquote, goes into the blind spot and pulls her chute.
Yeah.
And then the plane above pushes the dead body out. And he's like, how is that possible? And she says, oh, your flight suits are really easy to fake.
Yeah, but even still,
what?
There'd be two parachutes and a body.
I know.
Anybody on the ground will look up and see two parachutes and a body.
In a body. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is at the first point when I started swearing at the TV. Yeah.
So or they would have seen the other plane.
Right. No, or the other plane. Yeah, like,
what the heck?
Yeah. This scheme is so crazy. I almost don't even want to talk about it. Cause then, like, as she's portraying it in the movie, I'm getting like madder and being like,
And the other amazing part is they must have hatched this plan in like 12 hours because the time in between the body was the roommate's body.
Right. Yeah.
So basically in like a 12 hour period of her roommate / KGB partner or whatever dying, they hatched this plan to use her dead body.
Right, because she saw the article about him getting arrested, which was like that morning.
So they
saw, I mean, this came together quickly. It's actually impressive.
Yeah. And how did they not recognize the body? Because terminal velocity would make her teeth like chiclets, so no dental records.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and they didn't check her fingerprints.
They wouldn't borrow fingerprints because people on the ground said it was this person. So it's like,
They had everything figured out. Okay. It really was a flawless plan.
Yeah.
So now they need Charlie Sheen to help them.
Comes an even crazier plan.
Oh, it comes even crazier because now they're like, "Hey,
let's include him.
We basically framed you for my murder. Now we need you to help us, and we just buzzed you with a plane. Now we need to get back on a plane." Like
they need him for his mad parachuting skills.
The only way to get around in the world of this movie is by plane. You cannot. There is no other means.
There's no roads.
There's the red car, the red Cadillac. And planes. That's it.
Oh, and the motorcycle.
You cannot travel any
chase.
Other way. Yeah. If you need to get someplace, get in a plane.
Right, because don't have a plane.
Right, because later she even comes in a plane.
Yeah.
You meet him later on.
Yeah, I mean, like everything is by plane.
I didn't think that was funny when
the
plane's coming in. They're like, why is she coming in a plane? There's a secret meeting.
Why is everyone... Christopher McDowell's like, why is everyone in a plane?
Yeah. So they fly, they get him in a plane, they don't tell him anything. Like 1 minute before they get to this crazy chemical plant, and then they start throwing instructions at him mile a minute. If I was Charlie Sheen, I'd be like, where was this 2 minutes ago?
You could prep him like in the plane, hey, we need you to hit this, basically this 6-foot target.
Yeah.
No, you wait until he's like
10 feet
10 seconds away from it, and then go, right there, land there.
Why are they also even including Charlie Sheen when you have like a freaking Soviet agent like
who works there and has access? Her plan is to land outside the fence and talk him through.
Right.
Why doesn't she go in herself?
Because
he's so good.
Well, let's talk through it.
But she already works there. She could just show up one day and take it.
Luckily, it wasn't a bachelorette party next door. He would land on the wrong spot.
Well, let's talk about what happened.
Nuclear plant.
This is the bachelorette party you didn't show up for yesterday. Asshole.
Let's talk a little about this, and then we'll rip apart how stupid it is. So Charlie Sheen has to land inside this big, like, chemical or nuclear plant. He's running around like a terrible, like, you know how in video games, like errand running in video games?
Yeah, where it's like, you're just like checking out the scene.
Yeah, go to room B to get the key. Go to, like, and you're just, for pointless reasons, just running. You know, it felt like so much of like Fallout to me where you're like, go get the key from, you know.
So this is some type of plant, chemical plant.
She's
the employee of the month.
Yeah, she's in good standing there, apparently.
And all the other KGB people apparently work there, too, because they're there also, right?
Yeah, I was very confused at what everyone's role was.
Or were they trying to get the...
I think the plant was just a KGB front. I think
So it's just a front.
Yeah. But is it KGB or is it Russian Mafia?
Right, because they were Russian Mafia.
They never tell you.
But they were
they're a former KGB because the KGB doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, no, because they're the not-so KGB. No,
KGB used to be. Pretty funny. In sort of like the lazy screenwriting
of this movie, like I feel like this screenplay was written when the Soviet Union was still intact, and then the Soviet Union fell apart, and someone was like, No, we don't have to throw it out. Just be like, we're Russian Mafia now. The KGB and the Russian Mafia are all like one big thing. They're just bad. It's fine. You know, like there's no, they sort of like reference that the Soviet Union fell apart, but then just lump all bad guys into one. Like everyone who was bad in Russia just like joined the Mafia.
And they're like the most poorly cast KGB agents ever too.
Oh my God,
like,
they have no accents.
Well, it's like an Italian and
Chris McDonald.
Playing KGB agents with no accents.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
but the funny thing too is they hid the what he was in there for. Hidden the clothes
In a closet bar.
In a closet in the bar, yeah.
Yeah.
The cylinder, as they henceforth refer to it.
And I guess we'll get to it later, but does that make any sense, what that was?
No. No, it
makes
does
no
not.
Makes no freaking sense
no,
at all.
No,
I'm like,
it,
really?
It, is...
it looked like a little pizza cutter.
No, it's... yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah, it's 100... Well, so... All right, so basically, Charlie Sheen has to run all around this chemical plant where we basically just waste 10 minutes of movie with him doing errands, and then he finds this, like, device, and then... Then the bad guys
he triggers
basically...
the alarm. He figures it out and he triggers the alarm.
Why did
well,
the
bad
guys
get
go
back?
There,
yeah, they found out that
they found that,
that he was in there, so they turn on so the security turn, yeah. again.
Why were the bad guys even there?
Why did he need to turn the fence off? Because she never crossed the fence.
I know.
No, he had to turn off the alarm so that
oh
he
the
could...
alarm system
oh, so
and the
fence.
Fence.
Yeah,
okay.
But
she didn't come in still.
But here's the question: why is Charlie?
She's a big agent. She's like,
why is Charlie Sheen in this plan at all? Like, what is?
I guess the only reason I could figure is because he could land. Specific,
but she was also an experienced skydiver.
Right. Maybe she's not as precise as he is with her. With
he
her
just
landing.
He just landed in the
I don't
wrong
understand.
Spot for
I have,
a
to, go,
party.
I have to go with that. I just don't know why he had to be that precise. Because I mean, he landed in this silo thing, and like,
right. It was like the only place he could land. It's like there's she's saying something about the warning things on the sides or something. And it, he had a big.
Why did he land on the ground?
Even in the world of this movie, this made no sense because she, who knows this plant, like the every inch of this plant, is just watching from the outside while someone who's never been in the plant is fumbling around, stumbling.
Yeah,
wouldn't
she, in theory, have like a security card to just like bypass all the things he had to shut down?
Right.
Why didn't she just give him a security card?
And to be outside with no video.
She gave him a key to open the door into the office.
Yeah, it was already in the jumpsuit. He's like, how do I get in the office? Look in your pocket. What? Oh, yeah. I've got a key.
Wouldn't
I
this have just
everything.
Been easier if you kept the key in your pocket and did all of this?
Yeah. If I was Charlie Sheen, I'd be like, couldn't I have watched from outside while you did this?
Couldn't I have thrown rocks at the electrical fence to see if it was still on?
I mean, now, wait. Now, I would say maybe it would make sense, like, maybe if he if they landed wrong and she landed too far back and he landed too far forward and she rolled her eyes and said, all right, fine, I have to talk you through this. But that key, that was the plan, was to send him in.
This was her intent, yeah.
Right,
and
so,
then,
so if he walked
and she
on...
wanted him to win, she didn't want him to get killed, so it's not like she was trying to, I don't know.
So if he took a right instead of, you know, in the wrong spot, he'd be like lost, he'd be like, wait, where are you?
Capture
you. Wait, which way are you going?
Yeah.
Wait, no, turn around. No, you'd be like totally lost.
Are you facing the meat section or the vegetable section?
And so then she's...
Well, to preview a movie that we haven't done yet, but will, this reminded me of The Village, where it was like, why are you involving someone else in your crazy plan?
Right,
just
right.
do it
just
yourself.
Yep. And then she's just great that they're running after him, and she's like, okay, you're on your own, ditch.
She ditches ditch.
Well, and we get one of... We get one
guy shooting at me. I have to go. I'm a freaking KGB agent. I can't take this.
Peace out.
My partner's scared by trash bags.
One of my favorite things in these bad movies, and when this happened, I like did like a Tiger Woods fist bump. How does Charlie Sheen ditch Brody know that the bad guys are onto him and are chasing him when one of them comes out on a catwalk and is like, ditch Brody! And start shooting it. That's what you gotta do. You gotta yell the name of the person you're chasing who doesn't know you're chasing them before you start shooting
and
at
he
them.
He screams him like this is like his nemesis from years back.
Yeah.
It's like he just met this guy the other day and he, instead of saying it's that jackass jumper again, get him! It's ditch Brody!
You never answered my question if you're the boyfriend! Are you?
Don't touch my car!
And in the world of this movie where you can only get places by plane or red car, Charlie Sheen just has to run
he runs
on
through the
foot
desert.
Away from his plane.
Yeah,
and the bad guys are like, what are we going to do?
We have cars out there. Christopher Donald is like, looking at him like, darn it, he got away. It's like,
they're
in the middle of a desert. He's
running
away.
He's on foot. You have machine guns and cars. He's a guy. He's on foot like 50
feet away. They didn't have a plane.
Away.
If they had a plane, it would have been okay.
He got outside the fence, so.
I was like, all right, here's the big chase scene in the desert. And then the next, he's like, okay. Like, how far did he run? Because they had to take a plane to this factory.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, took a plane.
He's just like running. It was still night when he got back to his office.
It might have been the next night.
It's the only way you can get
And if you're a bad guy, you would never look at his office after he gets
away. Oh, no,
you would never go there to try to
You know his name and all that, but you're not going to figure out. He's in the papers all the time.
You wouldn't call the cops and be like, hey, there's a bunch of guys shooting at me at this plant I just ran away from. Nope. This also kind of reminded me of, like, Brian, you can probably empathize, or Cody too, when I played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and you get to the point where you can easily get access to planes, and it's sometimes just quicker to just hop in a plane to get where you need to go and just jump out and crash the plane. Like, that's how people get around in this movie.
Yeah, planes are a dime a dozen in this movie.
Yeah, just take it. Don't worry what happens to it.
We got another one.
We'll find another one. They respawn.
They have the infinity cheat with planes.
Now, Sheen is in his office, and what is he, call her? Or does she call him?
She calls him.
Yeah. But she knows where he is.
Why is he jumping a friggin' plane and fly over?
I don't know.
He's going to make a deal. Like, he's going to try to bluff her or whatever. I'll give you the cylinder.
Well, all he wants is proof that she's not alive. Dead.
Right. Yep.
So he's going to
give
me
proof
DNA
that you're alive for the FAA. I'll give you the cylinder. And he speaks French for some reason.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
They were speaking Russian. Don't tell me it wasn't Russian, because I can speak French.
And she's giving him attitude. Like, she's like, why do you need to know that I'm alive? What, you don't want to be charged with manslaughter? Quit trying to rip me off.
She's like, DA.
She's like, I told you I'd take care of it. Like, really? You just freaking left me in the plant back there. I mean,
you just said,
take care of this?
You just said,
on your own.
Yeah.
When I said you're on your own, I didn't mean literally.
At that point in time.
So he sets up this meet at the old guy's junkyard or whatever.
At the junkyard.
Because
he wants rocket car, wink, wink, is stored.
And he's going to bring out the DA.
And pink
DA
water.
DA James Gandolfini.
In the middle of this meeting, there's just a 30-second Certs commercial for Certs Mints.
Yeah, oh I like God, Certs. It's really a nervous habit. Weird. Give me one of your Certs. You okay. And he's sitting there chewing on Certs.
Do you chew on Certs? Don't you suck on Certs?
Especially
yeah, he was chewing them. He was nervous.
I'm going to say, this was the one moment in the movie where I kind of was like with it. It was so weird, but I was like...
He kind of giggled a little bit.
I was like, okay. Because
it's James Gandolfini.
They just eat certs for like 30 seconds.
They share a little moment. Yeah. It's a little moment. It's a touching moment. They're sharing certs.
Hey, Dick, I was, for a moment there, I was like, huh, I wish the whole movie had been this quirky.
I know.
I
wish it was about James Gandolfini and Charlie Sheen doing stuff together. That would have been
like a buddy cop movie?
Yeah.
That didn't work too well for him, that one movie, though, did it?
What?
Gandolfini, didn't he do a movie like that, like a buddy movie, and didn't work out too well?
Oh, The Mexican? With Brad Pitt and he kidnaps.
I don't look like don't
Sandra Bullock or
anyway,
someone.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Okay. Anyway, double cross. Gandolfini is also Russian.
No way.
Yep.
I couldn't. You know, I his never accent that gave it away. Accent. The accent just gave it away.
Yeah, I have to say, I didn't think he was going to be a good guy, but I was actually pretty surprised to hear that he was a Russian, considering he's about the most recognizable Italian actor in the world.
Yes. Yeah. And he doesn't.
The guy who played
Russian
Tony Soprano
is a Russian KGB.
Is a Russian KGB agent.
Yeah, he doesn't look Russian at all. And so then things are running around, and the junkyard guy. We got a great moment in this very Alex Cross like where I wish someone had yelled rocket. A guy just launches an RPG out of nowhere at the Russians. Yeah, even the Russians are like, whoa, Who had an RPG?
How does someone living in a junkyard in Tucson have a
RPG? Rocket!
Things just escalated really quickly. And of course...
Another gun battle where two people just escape all the hail of gunfire.
No one's hitting anybody. Yeah. Yep.
The characters in a G.I. Joe cartoon are in more danger than Charlie Sheen is in any movie.
They jump on the
movie.
Rocket car and take off.
And I love these rocket car shots.
The face
was so bad.
Everyone is slow mode.
Yeah.
I thought the YouTube clip was like skipping or like freezing. I was like, wait, are they doing this in slow motion for some odd reason?
I think they did it in slow motion so you couldn't tell that they weren't going very
fast.
It
wasn't fast at all.
They're like slowing a fan on their faces.
Speed it up.
They kept cutting to these ridiculous shots of Charlie Sheen's face, like morphing.
And so the rocket car plan was, the guy who built it was basically
kill himself.
To kill himself, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a big smiley face dead end.
Yeah.
It says, have a nice day.
I have
like
to think so.
Like 20 feet down the
But he's
got
a
ejector
seat in case
he
changes
his mind. Yeah, I thought
that
was
kind
of sad.
In a long list of things that are like just...
Well,
no.
Sheen said when he said it was ghost
kill yourself, he's like,
that's the plan.
Have you noticed how many...
But he had an ejector seat.
But he did have an ejector seat on.
I guess just in case you got a last minute, you know.
We gotta get into this ejector seat shot. My God, this was phenomenal.
You know, come to think of it, this movie was very, like, suicide-y based.
Yeah.
Because remember the scene where the woman, like, fake kills herself? The guy, when he makes his little speech about balancing, he's like, you ever thought about ending it that way? Just not pulling the cord?
Right, right, yeah.
And then this guy apparently is, like, planning on killing himself that way. They already faked the suicide.
Yeah.
I felt like killing myself and watching this. So.
You know what? No wonder the FAA has problems with this operation. Everyone is, like, seriously mentally ill. So
he reaches in slow motion for an ejector seat, and the thing explodes. Right, and literally, they're like, ah!
Yeah, terrible.
Like, fly CG, past the camera with a terrible, must have been an early CG.
Yeah.
It looked like garbage.
Like a green screen, yeah.
Yeah, this did not work. And there were some halfway decent effects in this movie. This was not one of them. So now they're just on the run in the desert, and we go back to the theory of you can only transport by foot, red car, or air travel. So now they're being chased. Like, a helicopter is chasing them.
And they're just walking.
And then they pull a Metal Gear Solid, and they just hide under a piece
of
cardboard.
They hide under a board.
And
they float there for like 5 minutes, and they're like freaking, like under this board, and then the helicopter flies away.
It's the next shot, they cut to a fire.
Yes.
And immediately I think, well, that's pretty freaking stupid, because trying to hide out. I swear this has to be an ADR scene.
Oh, yeah,
Should we build a fire? And she says something like, I know them. They never backtrack.
Charlie Sheen, the non-KGB agent, is like, is it a good idea to be building a fire?
Yeah, that's
right
what he says.
Yeah,
he goes, we're being chased. We're building a fire. It's a great idea or whatever. Right.
And she's like, they never backtrack. I'm like,
really? I wanted to mention, I think we're past the point that when he reveals to her that he wanted to go to the Russian Olympics, he pulls out a wallet-sized version of the picture of him.
He goes, keep it. I've got plenty more.
Yeah, that was actually also kind of funny.
Yeah, he's got a wallet-sized picture.
Well, when she says, when she's like,
magazine.
And he says he's chasing Russian gold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Well, when he says, or when she says, don't worry, the KGB never backtrack, I was so hoping, like, she or Charlie Sheen would be like, yep, that's why they went out of business. that was the problem.
That's why KG used to be.
Yeah. And then we get some, like, really creepy, like, double entendres, where
she
basically
swallows,
like
when she swallows the tequila worm, and he says, you've swallowed the worm, and she says, I was trained to swallow all sorts of things, and he goes, careful, I may just have to marry you. And that's what triggers the romantic kiss.
Well, that and a great, I don't actually have the line written down, but essentially Nastasia Kinski says, like, hey, is that my top secret spy gadget, or are you happy to see me? And the answer is both. Which is really weird.
And just a note for, you know, young adults listening, it's not a good idea to pick up bottles with fluid in it. If you're like driving along the thruway or 81, don't pick up them bottles and drink from the.
What?
Because that's what they do.
Picks up a random tequila bottle and says, hey, let's drink this.
Like,
no,
yeah.
I don't think it's a good idea.
Especially, it was like covered in dust. It wasn't like in some wine cellar.
I was worried about where that was going.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you're driving along the
and he brings up fluids.
You go along
the
thruway, you see a lot of Gatorade bottles.
Well, just in
you don't pick them up and drink. I just want kids out there drinking bottles of random
fluid. I see that happen all the time when I'm driving through. I see
young
adults pull over, take the Gatorade bottles. I'm like, don't
and
do
even
that.
Go, right. And even go
right. to just, educate.
Right. That's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I would also just say, in
like
general,
sometimes there's worse things than
Andy Wolf should not be giving young adults advice. Just in general, if you're a young adult and Andy Wolf says, I'd like to counsel you, or I think you're headed in the wrong direction, I'd like to help you.
Young people.
Yeah.
Well, Cody turned out
fair. He's turned out fair.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a tough crowd. Gives his own son a fair.
Passing grade.
So this magic device that Charlie Sheen had in his pants, which
is magic device in his pants?
Well, there's two magic devices.
Right,
why would you have a disc that has the flight plan?
Hijacked. It had a flight plan and a hijacked plane, and that's...
Why would you keep that disc? Why would you hide that disc? Why don't you say, okay, we don't need this, let's flush it down the toilet, or...
I don't know.
Smash it with a
hammer. It's a flight plan. You know where the plane is
going. Right.
Well, let's... To
and
set
it,
this...
And it even says it doesn't say where it's going next.
No!
Well, to set this up a little bit... So to believe this movie, a 747 lands in the middle of the desert and no one knows where it is, or cares where it is, and only this magic device can care about it. And the crew's
dead, too.
And the crew's dead. I would really think that, like, the FAA and air traffic controllers would be like, hey, what happened to that 747 jumbo jet that dropped off the radar? It was in
our airspace, yeah.
You know what? We were tracking it. It went down right here.
And all the families of the dead flight crew aren't asking questions like, yeah, Tom never came home from that flight he was supposed to land on a Tuesday from.
Yeah.
The FAA was too busy dealing with Charlie Sheen's jumping.
Why would they keep this disc?
I don't know.
Where it is, so why would they have to keep this disc?
This whole...
It made no freaking sense.
This isn't even a hole. This is like just like a sinkhole that the movie starts falling into.
So, of course, it landed just a couple miles from where they are at that point.
So they can conveniently walk there.
So they can walk there.
Thank God.
They don't take a plane this time.
Anything between like 5 and like 30 miles is off limits, because that's like car-ish distances. Right. But within walking and plane distance, that's okay.
Right. Yeah. So they find the 747, they go up onto it, and Nastassja Kinski also is still super shady. Like, there's tons of reasons that Charlie Sheen should not trust her at this point.
Yeah, I wasn't sure she was a good guy.
Yeah. And
I'm still not sure she's a good guy.
And he's worried about, like, maybe that there's some nuclear reactive material on the plane, so she hands him, like, the top to a tea kettle or a sugar...
A coffee pot
or something, and she says, use this testicular shield. And he totally does.
I kind of got a little chuckle out of that.
I left his line coming up too when he finds out that it's not the nuclear.
One of the things this movie reminded me of is that Charlie Sheen can be funny.
Yeah.
I got another wrong Charlie Sheen.
I mean, he's selling the comedy pretty well in this. It's just the rest of the movie that's a disaster. So the plane is full of Russian gold bars.
Russian gold. It's full of Russian gold.
Russian gold.
Yes.
What he's been chasing for so long.
And then the bad guys also come to the plane at the same time, and luckily they only send one guy
just
on.
Just one guy, and it's all you need.
Just one guy. Just, we think there's people on the plane. Just some one guy up there. You know, Charlie Sheen hides himself in a bathroom. One guy just never finds him.
Yeah, what was his plan of hiding in the bathroom?
I don't know.
I didn't think that was funny, too. Him slowly locking the door to the bathroom.
The funny thing is the guy gets to, like, he checks three bathrooms. He checks three of the bathrooms, gets to the one that Charlie Sheen is in, and Nastassja, whatever.
Makes a distraction. Turns on the inflight.
Turns on the movie. He shoots up the movie. Now, instead of checking that last bathroom.
He's just like, no, I'm done
he's
now.
He's like, he's running around. Get up here. They're in the plane. It's like, well, why don't you check the bathroom?
Yeah.
Finish your job, you know.
He was a bad henchman.
He ran away from, yeah. And
another reason the KGB went under.
And then they came up in the plane.
He didn't want to backtrack.
Yeah.
The bad guys came up in the plane.
Exactly. They didn't backtrack.
Yeah, right. That's true. You're right.
Yeah,
never backtrack.
I can't move backwards. I don't know who turned on the in-flight movie, but I cannot go backwards. I'm forward only. I'm like Pac-Man. I only move in one direction.
Because then he ran to the backup plane, and he saw the gold bars. I guess he saw one, and he starts yelling, "Get in here!
Yeah.
Why? Well, I thought something happened.
Steal any gold or anything.
Nothing. It just, I guess the top was up, so everybody had to rush to the back of the plane.
Somebody looked at our gold. Like,
everybody get in here. So the bad guys go around the back of the plane.
Who was looking at this?
Even to gaze upon someone
was admiring it. Gitch Brody!
So Charlie Sheen and Nastassja Kinski just have to, again, run away from the plane.
We're running.
They run up a spiral staircase to the cockpit, I guess.
And then how do they get out of
there? There's a hatch.
There's a hatch up top.
Oh, there's a hatch up top.
And they jump out
some wires
and continue to run.
And they run.
They jump in a van that the bad guys left running, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Everybody leaves keys in the car.
Of course.
So they finally get in a car. They finally use a car. And they drive into town. And this is where I was like,
oh my god, the bar. This is what the hell?
What? There are so many things wrong with this scene in the diner.
The bartender at some point come over and go, hey guys, hey.
This is just bizarre.
Or not even like calmly, like the bartender should be like, hey, you two, chill with that. You know, like, they just start screaming at each other in this, like, about, diner.
At first, it's kind of screaming like, about, okay, like, national security and KGB and, like, and gold.
She goes on this guilt, like, this massive
my
guilt trip.
My family's dying in Russia, and you don't want to help me to get this gold because Pinkwater's going to use the gold to create a regime in Russia. I'm like, what?
If I was Charlie Sheen, I would be like, look, it's only $600 million in gold. Like, Russia has, like, billions of dollars. This $600 million is not going to define terrorism in Russia.
I know, that's what I was saying. Like, I know, like, you know, the economy was down and $600 million is a lot, but it's not enough to overtake a country, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah. And what? And also, why
is that what
they're
trying? I never got what they actually wanted the gold for.
They wanted to take over Russia.
I will say this, though. I did appreciate that it was not Nazi gold. How many movies have had the Nazi gold, you know?
Well, they couldn't have had the whole gymnast angle. I've been chasing Nazi gold for 10 years. Oh, really?
No. I know, I was hoping when they went back to the plane, it was going to be the Lost Ark. That's what I was hoping.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been pretty awesome.
And how were they going to take over Russia with 600 million? I mean, they were going to take over Russia with 600 million. Like, Kevin Garnett could just walk in there and be like, I'm going to buy the country. I've got more than that. You know? Like,
That's the only thing I got out of this, is that she was afraid that James Gandolfini was going to use the money.
And well, also that three-legged dog
might not be real, God.
Yeah.
That's three-legged dog story you told me. That's BS, too.
Well, here's a question, too. Why does she need Charlie Sheen's help? What has Charlie Sheen done to really help her so far in this, like, at any point in this? Yeah. He's, like, the sidekick.
He had the device in his pants.
Right, she's got the device. She's all set.
What does she need him for? And we've got to talk about this. No one wants to call the cops and go, hey, there's a hijacked 747 full of dead people and $600 million in Russian gold bars being held by terrorists, like, 2 miles from here.
Well, she said she called the FBI.
Yeah, she'd call the cops.
She said, I called the FBI. They won't even send out they got to drive the Phoenix.
The FBI's busy.
Wait a minute. Isn't she a disavowed agent? Why would she call the FBI?
Maybe Charlie Sheen says, okay, well, let's go to Phoenix then.
Yeah, he's like, what's the problem? Right, let's go to Phoenix.
Yeah, we'll go to Phoenix. Yeah, or, like, just get the cop. Like, go to even, like, the Tucson local police. Right. Or, like, the plane is full of dead bodies. That's the real story. It's the families of that flight crew who were murdered.
Yeah, they
should
must be like what the hell is happening?
Even if they don't care about the goal, you'd be like, listen, there are, like, 7 dead bodies on a plane. You think the cops might be
in
like,
a hijacked plane.
Okay, we'll go check that out, you know.
Yeah.
Wade. 7 dead bodies, but all I heard was that $600 million worth of gold.
But luckily, she did go into a photo booth. So basically, this, you know, Charlie Sheen's like, forget it, I'm done. And by done, I mean I'm literally not going to do anything else, even call the police. I'm just going to take the awkward looks from the diner owner after this is done. And she's like, fine, I'll go do it myself. And she runs off, and then Charlie Sheen gets his wallet, and he realizes that she took a picture in a photo booth holding a sign. This is so crazy.
I'm alive.
She took a picture in a photo booth saying, Ditch did not kill me.
There's your proof right there.
Hold on, District Attorney. You don't have to press those charges against me. I think this Instamatic photo that is undated just answers all the questions here. Exhibit A. I introduce Exhibit A.
Look at that handwriting. That's beautiful. It's gotta be right.
As you can see here, Your Honor, I did not kill her.
She herself held this sign as this photo was taken.
Just refer to this Instamatic photo for any questions you have.
If she was alive, could she do this?
Where is she now? I don't know.
She could be dead because she just went out to chase some Russian gold. I didn't kill her at that point.
Yeah. What I thought here was a nice little a touching moment here when I don't remember what compels him to do so, but Charlie Sheen has a change of heart when he sees the picture.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, she really did want to help me. And he runs out in the street, and he almost gets hit by a trailer.
He stops in the middle of the road.
This was very Al Pacino in 88 Minutes. He creates the problem. The truck driver would be like, whoa, I did not do anything wrong.
I also thought it was weird because Emilio Estevez was attacked by trucks in Overdrive.
It's a family
trait. I was like, there's a callback there. It's a family trait. They're all being stalked by trucks. I don't know.
So he now is like, okay, now, since she took an Instamatic photo that referenced me not killing her, I've got to do everything I can to save her.
Steals some poor guy's sports car.
Yes, steals a sports car.
And he's like, hey, I got that same car.
That's
and
right.
He's driving to because they know they're going to transport the. What's they're transporting the money to somewhere?
They never say where.
I know. Whatever questions you have, they are legitimate.
The gold on an airplane, unguarded, full of dead bodies.
In an old airfield.
In an old airfield, and they're just keeping it there.
But now they're transporting to a working airfield.
Yes.
And they're loading up these. They're loading it up with a forklift in front of everybody.
Yes. This makes no sense.
They shove this girl
in the trunk of a car in broad daylight.
And Charlie Sheen knows where it is, and Nastassja Kinski knows where it is.
Yes. No, yeah, no, this makes no sense.
Yeah,
this is
Chris
like,
McDonald's I don't remember concerned anybody... about getting his car on the plane.
We have
like, hey, hot ride.
they're putting Chris McDonald's like nice Cadillac on. We have descended into absolute madness in the movie at this point.
Nuts.
She was getting open. He's like, "Yeah, whatever. Just park it in the car, in the plane."
So there, the bad guy's cargo plane takes off, and Charlie Sheen grabs this old guy who was a biplane, and is like, "We got to follow them."
And he swears him in as an FAA deputy.
As an FAA deputy, and not only that, we have to follow them, and we've got to pull a super duper mooper.
Yes!
I was waiting for this one.
I stood up in my house. I was like, yes!
I thought the same thing. This is great.
It's an interesting variation on the super duper.
Yeah, this might have been the most complex one.
They couldn't just do it. So the whole, like, I don't even know how to, like, describe this non-visually. Well, it's basically an excuse to do a really pretty impressive aerial stunt.
There's some impressive aerial stuff in this movie.
Yes.
They're really impressive.
I'm going to say that.
The aerial stunts are top-notch.
Yeah, I mean,
that was real stunts.
I was like,
there's no CG in the stunt work.
Yeah,
because he's got to get on the top wing of the biplane to get into the other plane, so he sits on the bottom
wing. He spends like 5 minutes describing to him the plan. He was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. I need you to stop the plane. We can't stop. Then I need you to slow it down. I need you to flip it over. I'm going to get on the wing like this, but then I need you to spin it so I can get on the other side of the wing. And I'm like, is he getting this? They're like,
I
got to
say, that guy was a professional. He knew what he was talking about.
They're shouting over the airflow.
I was going to say, when you're on the wing of the plane, you're not shouting anything to anybody. They're not hearing a damn word you're saying.
Yeah. No.
But it's a movie, so I let it go. It's fine.
And
you have to let a lot of things go with this movie.
Because it's so funny how like the bad guys open up the back of the plane because they're going to throw Kinski out.
Yes.
So that helps his plan. His plan is to sit on the top wing of the biplane and to grab on the ramp and pull himself up. That's his plan.
Yes.
And
without them noticing, which, by the way, the bad guys are like 8 feet away at this point, and they don't notice a human pulling himself into the cargo deck
of their
plane.
Or a plane right underneath the back of the freaking ramp.
People aren't very observant in this
movie. God, they can't do this.
They got the plane
they can't
in
be standing there.
Spot.
Nope, they're standing there as this is going on.
Yeah. So Charlie Sheen pulls himself up into the cargo plane.
Right, because this happens a lot in this movie. Shooter and Gandolfini were back there beating the hell out of her.
Yeah.
Now because they see the biplane, they're like, "Get up here!"
Yeah. Right. Right.
Wait. What are they gonna do?
Why you need 7 people in the cockpit
to show the biplane out there?
So they throw her back in the trunk.
Yeah.
And they're like, ditch! And run upstairs. To see the biplane. Everybody's like, oh, wow, hey, cool, look at that biplane. Jeez, that looks like a 1947 biplane, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they're, I mean...
And then someone's like, this involves ditch bro. Quick, back to the back of the plane where we should have been the whole time.
We can't go back there because we get backtracked, so let's just all stay in the cockpit.
Yeah. By the way, is the back of the plane open? Oh, no.
Nothing open.
Yeah. It's going to the back of the plane technically backtracking.
Yeah. So,
because if it is, we can't go.
So he, Charlie Sheen, so Shooter McGavin comes out and Charlie Sheen drives Shooter McGavin's car into Shooter McGavin. And then
backs the car in reverse.
He backs the car in reverse.
Thing he can do.
And I'll say this. We're about to see some very impressive stunt work.
Oh, the stunts again in this movie are top notch.
A plane, and basically Charlie Sheen's character backs the car out of the plane with Shooter McGavin on the windshield
and his girlfriend
Nastassja Kinski in the trunk, and he's wearing a parachute. So, like, there's
it
all
looked
this...
like the opening scene to a James Bond movie almost.
It did. It's that kind of stunt.
It did, and it was stunt was very well executed.
Well,
I thought the car
was incredible.
I mean, the intercuts were a little rough, but when you're actually seeing the aerial photography,
yeah, there's a couple of bad blue screen shots, but the actual practical shots were really
impressive.
Pretty impressive. So, I mean, basically, we're never going to be able to describe it accurately, but like, basically they...
Shooter's on the hood, trying to get his parachute.
Yeah, they punt, they get Shooter off the hood. Charlie Sheen has to work his way around to the trunk of the car, put the key into the trunk, open it.
It takes him like 5 minutes to get the key. Like, yeah. It would have been much easier if he had a key fob. Like, nowadays, it'd be like...
And he breaks the trunk popper.
This would be a lot easier now. It's
like, he had to get the key in there and open it up just in time.
Yeah.
And this is like the most... intense like skydive ever, because they finally get out of the car and then they go flying through an explosion and their parachute catches on fire.
Massive windmills.
Yeah. They have to break that parachute off and they can't land because now they're going off a cliff. He pops the reserve chute and now they're heading towards windmills.
Yeah.
And it's like then he finally lands. It was like the most harrowing
And the other line I thought was kind of funny was when they were going down, he's like, we finally got our tandem jump in. I was like, all right, that's decent.
Yeah, it was of all the terrible callbacks in the movie, that was the best of them.
That was okay.
This is where I'm like, what happened to James Gandolfini? Oh, that's right. He's going to come back in a second here.
Because what happened?
Apparently James Gandolfini.
I literally see that.
James Gandolfini, the most precise parachuter in this movie.
Which, by the way, I looked this up while I was watching.
He's better than Charlie Sheen.
James Gandolfini lands right on top of them.
He like delivers a roundhouse kick while he's landing.
And I don't know when James.
During the kiss too, so it comes out of nowhere. Bam.
I don't know when James Gandolfini jumped out of the plane, but we should mention this because the plane
lands right next to him.
Is landing right next to them.
Yeah.
I had to look this up because I was like, wait a second. The flight speed of a 747 is 567 miles per hour when it's in the air.
They weren't a 747, though.
That was a 747.
No, they're on a prop plane.
Oh, they're on the cargo plane. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are on the cargo plane. Okay, I forgot about that.
It still would be like they'd have to come back around.
They'd have to backtrack.
Yeah, that's right. Damn KGB, they're breaking
the rules. I'm sure the cargo plane can fly.
You got to stick to your principles.
Yeah, that's right.
Your logic is still sound.
So James Gandolfini makes the classic mistake that you see all the time of trying to bear hug someone to death.
It never works. For a while.
Especially when you're wearing a parachute next to windmills.
Yeah.
Epic bear hug.
It was that Nicolas Cage movie, Season of the Witch, where somebody bear hugged someone to death, too. Roman got killed by bear hug. Yeah.
I think the only time the bear hug has worked was in The Princess Bride.
Well, that's because it's Andre the Giant.
So Charlie Sheen,
only time in history.
Mm-hmm. Sheen pulls the old "I'm gonna pull your reserve chute so it opens and you get sucked into a windmill" move, with a classic.
Yeah, it happens every time. I think that was in North by Northwest.
Yeah. So Gandolfini gets sucked into a windmill and dies, and then Charlie, I don't know, Nastassja Kinski and Charlie Sheen.
They're in Russia.
You don't know if she's going to make it or not. I was like, oh my God, she got stabbed in the back, remember?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden,
oh no.
Did she get stabbed in the back? Because she seems perfectly fine when they're in Russia, and she just has a sling. Like an arm injury. It's not even like a cast.
It's the classic sign that you're injured. Your arm's in a sling.
She got stabbed in the gut, and she's wearing a sling.
Yeah.
And she's moving fine. So then he gets his gold medal from the Russians, like an award for winning, for helping save Russia, I guess.
This was a very Star Wars Episode 4.
This is the only time we've ever given this award to a foreigner, and of course it's Charlie Sheen because he skydived out of a plane.
And he salutes everyone, and then all the soldiers salute him, and then he drops the salute, then he raises the salute again, and they all go back up, and he goes back and forth.
And the moment of hilarity.
And then he sees the three-legged dog, and he says, wow, you weren't lying about the tripod dog, and it freeze frames, and that's the end of the movie.
And that's it. Terminal
Wasn't
Velocity.
This very Star Wars Episode 4-ish ending?
Everyone getting
medals and everything?
Yeah, it was like all Chewbacca the medals roars being given and out. And like, yeah.
Chewbacca was that big red-haired guy. Young Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, what was that? That was so weird.
I thought it was a chick or a guy.
A red-haired kid gives Charlie Sheen like a thumbs up, and then Charlie Sheen gives him like the most enthusiastic like thumbs up ever. I have no idea who that was.
That guy looked like a director's son. He looked very Irish.
I feel like that was like documentary footage, like that really happened or something. All right, so real quick to wrap this up, we're going to do our So Wrong It's Right question. This movie, by the way, a $50 million movie in 1994.
Wow.
Not cheap.
Did the money go for this movie?
To the aerial.
All the cars they just took.
They were going through more planes than like the Dukes of Hazzard goes through cars.
The rocket car must have cost a lot.
Yeah. Rocket car.
They built a rocket car.
Slow moving rocket car.
It was not developed for Charlie Sheen. It was developed for another actor. Well, I'm going to say, everyone take your guess on who this project Jerry was Lewis. Actually developed.
Jerry.
Jerry Lewis. What? All right.
Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
So take your guess on what actor this was actually originally designed for.
I'm going to say Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
Choice. Oh, that's a good choice.
That's a good that's choice.
It feels like a Kurt Russell movie.
Oh, Schwarzenegger.
Is that
okay.
multiple choice?
Yeah, but no.
You already guessed Jerry Lewis, so.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Were Bing Crosby.
This was designed for William Powell and Myrna Loy.
In 1990 what?
Four.
It doesn't seem like a fit, but I'm going to say Tom Hanks.
Okay.
I'll go Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone. Oh, I thought someone was going to get it. No, these are all, that. With the exception of Andy's, these are all good guesses.
What?
Andy's guess is terrible. Tom Hanks?
Why not?
Tom Hanks?
Not? Coming up with Splash What's and that? Forrest Gump.
Why is it like an action hero?
This is 94, though.
He's coming up Forrest Gump and an Gump, Oscar yeah. and Oscar-winning performance. Why would he be Terminal and Velocity?
Did you watch the movie?
No. Yeah. No, wait. He was coming off of Philadelphia. He would go from Philadelphia to this? Anyway.
If you love Tom Hanks as the AIDS patient in Philadelphia, you'll love him as the guy with assless chaps skydiving at Terminal Velocity.
It was signed for Tom Cruise. Developed for Tom Cruise.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, right off. Yeah, Top Gun.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise bailed on it. $50 million budget. It made $16.5 million. Wow. So not a hit.
Now it's free on YouTube.
And now free on YouTube for anyone who wants to see it.
Then Tom Cruise actually ended up doing it later on in that other movie we just watched.
Night and Day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Kind of similar character.
He could have done it back then. And
that's right.
Just saved everyone the trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Just gotten it out of the way. Yeah, saved us the trouble. Yeah.
I think that brings this week's episode to a close. We'll do a quick summary here. As always, you can follow some of us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Jack is...
At Jack Esterber.
Cody.
At Cody A. Wolf.
And at Wind Up Films. And you can also follow us on Facebook with great screen grabs and comments. The episode descriptions and the screen grabs make it worth it in and of themselves. I look forward to that every week. I'm really looking forward to the picture from this one. I have a couple... There's a lot of potential from this one.
Mine would be a still of Chris McDonald just yelling.
That would be a good one. That would be pretty entertaining. Or just the reaction shot of the people in the diner as Charlie Sheen and Nastassja Kinski are screaming at each other.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon with more terrible movies. Stay tuned. Follow us on Facebook. Oh, and always, quick plug for our friend's movie, King Lee. You're in Central New York, May 9th, it will be premiering at the Palace Theater. So many connections to this show.
He was on the show.
It'd be funny if it's on it.
It'll be close.
Okay. And if you don't live in Syracuse, watch for it on DVD. Friend of the show and guest of the show, Tim Ferlito, co-producer and writer on it. Friend of the show, Dave Fulkerson, director of photography.
And Andy Wolf.
Known associate
cameo,
of this program.
Cameo by Alex Dunbar. Very, you gotta check out.
Very short cameo, but King Lee, watch for it, and it's on Twitter at King Lee Movie. We saw it last night. It's fantastic. Yeah, I would encourage everyone to see it. All right, that is it. We'll be back next time. See ya.